wonderful job last Wednesday in my absence. But I was sharing with Mom something today that those of you who follow Pastor Bill Winston's ministry, you know that our brother's overcoming an attack against his body. And he wasn't on the schedule this year at the ministers conference, which a little bit of a disappointment for me because, as I've made it known, he's one of my favorite preachers of the word. Well, Brother Copeland surprised us last Tuesday night. Brother Copeland was scheduled to preach, and he said, "I got a special guest tonight," and I think I shared this with you on Sunday morning. Brother Winston just sat on a stool, and the wisdom and word of God just pour out of him for almost 2 hours there, hour and 40 minutes, whatever it was. But one of the first things that he said, and I want to say it's stuff that we knew, but sometimes somebody can say something a different way, and now it just triggers it, you know what I'm saying? And this was the first thing he said. He said, faith does not need an overseer. Faith does not need an overseer. And of course he explained, you know, in his comical way, you know, he said, sometimes you hire people and you give them a job and you got to watch over them 24, the whole shift, make sure they get the job done. He said, you don't have to watch over faith to make sure it gets the job done. He said, you just activate it and turn it loose. And it'll get the job done. Amen. And so faith doesn't need an overseer. Amen. 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 Faith's a servant. That's Jesus taught us that, right? And once you put him to work, put faith to work, he's working. Amen. And he's not a loafer. Amen. Faith. Amen. Always get the job done. So I just wanted to encourage you with that. Sister Terry, happy birthday. Amen. What a blessing you are to us. And Miss Elaine, we were joking about Miss Elaine. We said she's going to be somewhere dancing till dawn. Amen. But today actually is Miss Elaine's birthday. And so I don't know if she's watching or not. But what a gift you ladies are. And if anybody else is that I don't know about, but those are the ones the little birdies told me about. So happy birthday, and we love you so much and so thankful for you. Praise God. All right. We're going to do something in a way, I guess, tonight that I've never done it. I've mentioned things briefly and different related to this over the years, but I shared with the discipleship class. I really felt like I already had the sermon ready to go tonight. And I sat down just to go back over everything earlier this morning, and man, the Lord began to speak to me about some things that we needed to talk about first. Amen. First things first. And you know, there is an order to things. Timing is very, very critical when it comes to the things of God, because the things of God work from a pattern. There's patterns that Father God has established, just like there are patterns that Satan has works to establish and develop those patterns. And so if there's a pattern, then there's a timing and there's an order to things. And we know I often compare that to someone who lays brick. A brick mason has to lay the brick one row at a time. And as much as you may want to lay that top soldier course, if you don't know, those of you, that top course of brick where they turn them this way, that's called the soldier course. And that means that wall's finished, right? Can't lay that soldier course until you lay all the rows up to it, because there's nothing to support those soldiers. And so in the same way, when I come before people to speak and teach the word, one of the things that the Holy Spirit's trained me to ask is, okay, what do I need to tell them first so that what I'm here to tell them will have something to rest on in their hearts and in their lives? And so Isaiah 55, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Well, the last few Wednesday nights that I've been with you, we've been looking at this last phrase here in verse 2, let your soul delight itself in abundance. And, of course, we're starting to look at other things that we need to let our soul delight itself in. David let his soul delight itself in victory before he ever went and fought the battle. And we know that we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but so few of God's people actually let their soul delight in the reality of their right standing with God and the fellowship that we have with Him. And so I came prepared to talk to you some more about that, but the Holy Spirit prompted me to take a closer look at the first part of that last sentence. Listen carefully to me. Listen carefully to me. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Do you see the pattern? Do you see the order of things here? You can't let your soul delight itself in abundance if you're not eating what is good. And you can't eat what is good unless you listen carefully to what the Lord is saying to us, both in His Word and then how He speaks to us individually. So I want to talk to you tonight about listening. Amen. And I'm convinced from my time walking with the Lord and serving Him by serving His people, is that if the Lord can't speak to you and you hear Him through His Word, it begins with His Word. Everything begins with His Word. Amen. As far as Him communicating with us. You got to get born again or the things of God are foolishness to you. I understand all that. But I mean, if He can't speak to you and correct you and direct you, there's not a lot He can do to help you. Amen. It's so critically important that Father God be able to communicate with us. And of course, communication, the basics of communication, is one person speaking and another person listening. And on the surface, that sounds so simple, doesn't it? But anybody that's ever been married, you know, amen, that sometimes communication can be very difficult. And that's because the enemy is trying to make it difficult. He's trying to interfere with our ability to communicate with the people that we love and certainly interfere with our ability to hear God when He speaks to us. Now, when God speaks to us, His words are pure. His words are true and right on time. So, of course, the enemy can't make God say something wrong, amen, but he can certainly try to make us hear it wrong or be confused by it or misunderstand it. And so this simple interaction of God speaking to us and us listening to Him, hearing from Him is vital. It is fundamental. And I would dare say it's essential and critical. It's critical. Amen. Now, I am majored, some of you know this, in UAB, in college. I majored in communications. And there were certain courses, if you were going to be a communications major, that you absolutely had to take. And you couldn't progress into the different classes that were, I guess, upper level type classes that were very interesting and intriguing to me, unless and until you took those basic classes. One of those classes was public speaking. Public speaking. Well, you know, I'd been preaching for a while before I went to college, and so I enjoyed that class and did well in it. Another one was called voice and diction. Now, I made good grades in voice and diction, but Professor Flowers, my professor in that class, she would not be pleased with me if she listened to one of my sermons online or came to hear. And voice and diction is when you properly enunciate words. And I don't know if you've ever seen that comedian Nate Bargatze, but clean, funny. But he talked about, you know, he went to a community college. Y'all seen this bit where he went to community college, and he said, you would think that, you know, going to a speech class in a community college, they would have fixed my ability to say all. He said, and he gets tickled at himself because, you know, he says, oil, you know, but he says, I still call it oil, you know. And so voice and diction would be that class, where you have to pronounce things correctly. Okay. Who is the gentleman that's the voice at the Birmingham airport? And you hear him in other airports, the black gentleman that has such a distinctive voice. I want to say Samuel Jackson, but that's not right. Morgan Freeman. Thank you. So Morgan Freeman would be a classic example of someone who enunciates correctly. And that's why one of the reasons his voice is so distinctive. Well, those types of prerequisite classes What we're going to cover tonight, it really should be a prerequisite for every person, but especially every born-again believer, as it relates to hearing from God, listening to God. But then we're going to modify this. And so some of these, I took communications and I took social work classes. And the reason I was going to double major in communications and social work, but I minored in social work because in those days at UAB, the minor in social work, you only had a few prerequisites and then you could select any classes that you wanted. And so I took a bunch of counseling classes. That was what I felt like would serve me the best and help me the most, in a future in ministry. And so, one of the things that they teach you as a counselor is that first and foremost, a good counselor has to be a good listener. Amen. And I don't know if you ever talk to somebody and it's obvious like while you're talking to them, they're already thinking about what they're going to say to you rather than listening to them. And so, you know, that's something that you have to practice. I know it sounds like, you know, something silly like, you know, why do English speaking people take English classes? You know, so we speak English. Why don't we take an English, right? Well, there's a right way. There's a right way. How many of you know there's more to English than what we speak down here in the southern part of Alabama, southern part of the United States of America? So I know you think, well, listen, man. I mean, if you can hear, you can listen. Well, no, there's different levels of listening. And so, I want to walk you through, the levels of listening, and we're going to modify these or adapt these. For listening to the Lord and specifically listening to the Lord while a servant of the Lord is teaching us and speaking to us. Is that okay? Can we do that? I really feel led because again, let's go back to it. If we don't learn how to listen carefully, then we'll never be able to truly eat what is good. Remember the correlation there is man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So we don't often associate listening with, I mean, we don't often associate eating and hearing as being this, you know, we think of eating as with the mouth, you know, but we eat with the ears. We eat with the eyes because these are gates into our inward man. Praise God. And so if we never learn to listen carefully, or we could say listen correctly, then it's going to limit our ability to eat what is good. Let me say it another way. Our ability to eat what is good is based upon our ability to listen carefully. So I want to ask you tonight, so, you know, Pastor Mark, come on now. I've been listening for however, you know, I'm 59 years old. I've been listening for 59 years, and, you know, I've gotten pretty good at it. Well, maybe, maybe not. All right. So let's dig through this. Y'all okay? Is this all right? Amen. I almost wanted, when the Lord began to speak to me about this, I'm like, Lord, man, I need to save this for Sunday morning. Everybody needs to hear this. So, amen. We'll see. But praise God. Let's go. Let's begin with this, all right? Not all listening is created equal, okay? There are different levels, or we could even say degrees of listening. And so that's what I'm gonna break these down into levels, obviously with the least, amount of listening all the way up to the most important, level of listening, all right? So level one, we could just call it ignoring. And this is when you're physically present, but mentally absent. You ever had a conversation with somebody who wasn't there? Amen. In other words, they're sitting across from you, but they're really not listening to you. So, this, as it would relate to someone at Heritage Christian Center, they're here, they're looking at me, or Brother Donald, or Brother Matthew, or Pam, or whoever, you know. They're here, their eyes are on me, but their mind is somewhere else. And on this level of listening, there's no real processing of what's happening, right? And that word process, as it relates to listening and hearing from the Lord, is extremely important. Because you know, his word comes to us like seed, and the fruit of that seed is released and harvested ultimately through a process. So if you're physically present but mentally absent, there's no real process happening. And have you ever had a conversation with someone while they were scrolling on their phone? You're trying to talk to them. Yeah. Right. Well, obviously that would kind of be an example of this. But now, watch this. You don't have to have a phone in your hand to scroll. Right? You can be sitting in a church service, in a classroom, where the answer you've been looking for your whole life is coming forth from the person that God's ordained to speak that particular time. But because you're scrolling in your mind, you're there, you're present, but you're mentally absent. And so the result of this, and this is a worldly statement, is that basically nothing sticks. Do you understand what I mean by that? Nothing sticks. If words, are like glue, someone listening on this level, their heart and mind is like Teflon. It just slides right off. Nothing sticks. Are y'all still with me? We want it to stick, right? We want to get this. We want to grab it and hold on to it. Now, of course, we know that the enemy comes when it's the word of God. The enemy comes to do what? He comes to immediately steal that word. And so if there's no processing, and you're scrolling, then, the chances of you getting it are slim to none. All right. Let's go to the next one. Level two, we're going to call it hearing. And this is where sound reaches your ears, but meaning barely registers. Meaning barely registers. So this level of hearing is just barely a step above ignoring. And this is when you catch words, but really no intent behind the words. And of course, there's little comprehension of what's being said. And this is a word like, is we're hearing it a lot in our world today. When it makes it to a progressive commercial, then you know it's become popular in our world today. But this is like a form of passive listening. Passive as opposed to what we'll get to in a minute, active listening. So you're hearing it, it's kind of, you know, sort of making sense to you. But this level of listening is often automatic or passive. Sometimes the attitude behind this is, I've heard this before. You know, I know what he's fixing to say next. You know, maybe after he reviews for 20 minutes last week's sermon, he'll get to something I hadn't heard before. And so the key marker of this level of hearing is, wait, what did you say? Right. In other words, something every now and then kind of strikes a note. All right. We laugh about this, but my mom's dad, my Papa Smith, he was known to chew tobacco. And he was on the phone. We was at their house one night on a Friday night, and he was on this long phone conversation, and he wasn't a big phone talker, so he needed to spit, obviously. And so finally he put down the phone, he went outside. I can't believe I'm using this example, but forgive me, Mama. I know her and Daddy are watching. He spit and he came back in, he picked up the phone, he said, now what was that again? You know, that would be an example of, sound reaching your ears, but meaning barely registering. Okay. This is the next one is a big one. All right. And I think it's one that we're all guilty of and have to watch out for. Okay. And level three. So we've gone one, two, now we're at three. Level three is selective listening. Okay, and this is when you listen for what interests or benefits you. Selective listening involves, husbands, wives, y'all just keep looking straight ahead, okay? It's hearing what you want to hear. Amen. Hearing what you want to hear. But that, easy now, sister. Amen. Women can do it too. Women can do it too. But I would say men are more prone to this. Women tend to communicate more frequently than men. And so there's more opportunity for men to only hear. Did I say that gently enough? Wally, help me out here, brother. Amen. So he's like, don't bring me into this. Amen. So this kind of listening is when we filter. You understand what I'm saying? It's like we're waiting for something that seems relevant to us. We're waiting for something that triggers something in our hearts and minds. And so it But here's the problem with this, and I know y'all didn't come for counseling classes tonight, but just stay with me, please. Stay with me. This is, I think, very important, very necessary. And I told you, the Lord told me, and the Lord, and I said we're going to be practical this year. We're going to be practical this year. And it's, I mean, more practical. We've always tried to be practical, more practical than we've ever been. And so this is what happens, though, with selective listening. We tend to fill in the gaps with assumptions. We tend to fill in the gaps with assumptions. So it's very common in conversations, like with people you love, amen, and when hearing the word. How's that joke go? The man came back from the grocery store with 5 gallons of milk. And she said, "Where's the eggs?" And he said, you told me to get milk, and if they have eggs, get 5. Or something like that. And so, but you got the point. I butchered that joke, but amen. You understand what I mean? So in other words, he got 5 gallons of milk and no eggs, because if you got, anyway, praise God. All right. Here's my favorite version of selective listening. Just like Pastor Mark always says, and it's something I've never said, because they're hearing what they want to hear. People do. Have you ever seen that? Some of you who have been around Heritage for long enough to know what Pastor Mark says, have you ever seen those things on Facebook? It's like Pastor Mark always says, and then it'll be something like, praise God, what in the world, you know? So when we only hear what we want to hear, we fill in the rest of that with what we thought we heard. And of course, the key marker here is the response or the understanding is off. And just for the record, selective listening is responsible for a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of arguments, a lot of confusion. And of course, we know who's behind and who benefits from confusion. It's the enemy, right? And we all do it. I'm telling you, we all do it. But now exposing it and recognizing it is more than half the battle. All right, let's keep going. Level 4, we're getting somewhere now, attentive listening. And this is focused, and here's a key word, it's intentional. You don't listen attentively, you don't listen attentively by accident. It's intentional. And it is focused. So this would involve eye contact and an effort to reduce distractions. An effort to reduce distractions. I've gone back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And listen, I am thankful for technology. I am thankful that we can live stream. I am thankful. So we've got senior citizens in our church that aren't comfortable driving at night, and they're tuned in and watching right now. And please know that I am not busting your chops. Hear me, I'm not busting your chops, okay? But for those of you, and I know some of you are here tonight that in the past have stayed home on Wednesdays and watched the live stream, by coming here, you automatically reduce almost 100% of the potential distractions. I've watched services online. I'm talking about our services online. And it's very easy, you know, no offense, but especially during the praise and worship, you know, it's like just talk, you know, and just kind of let it all, you know, sail through, right? Reminds me before Russell Autry got born again. He's with heaven, in heaven now, but he would come, he would sit right over there, but he would say, you know, I just wait till the entertainment's over and come hear what the big guy's got to say, you know. But notice it's very easy. So my hat's off to those of you who can watch on the live stream and be focused and avoid the distractions, and you know, you're a lot less tempted right now to get up and go to the kitchen and find you a snack then perhaps you would be at home, all right? So focused and intentional, it involves, you know, focus, eye contact, paying attention, reduce distractions. But here's key thing on attentive listening. It's when you track the speaker's main points and you can summarize them accurately. Not like Pastor Mark always says and then say something Pastor Mark never says. Okay? If you can track the main points and then summarize them accurately. So a lot of times, attentive listening coincides both in classroom, secular, spiritual classroom sermons with what? Taking notes. Taking notes. And now we're getting somewhere because the key marker of this level of listening is we understand what's being said. We understand. You realize now we had to get to level 4 before we've got any level of real understanding. Are you following me? See, I think sometimes when, I've seen it, I've witnessed it, that it's like it took every bit of effort we had just to get here on Sunday morning. And then it's like, okay, hope he doesn't preach too long and I wonder what's for lunch. You follow what I'm saying? And so people are hearing, but are they listening? Are they scrolling? Are you following me? See, now watch this. This is different from math class. You know, or I know social studies or whatever. You know, when it comes to the things of God, you have an enemy who's actively trying to distract you, confuse you, and steal from you what it is that God's trying to say to you. So, attentive listening, are you following? It's not just required, you know, in some like training session at your work, but even more so, do you see, there is more word, good word. I'm talking about truth. I'm talking about the word of faith which we speak. I'm talking about life-changing, devil-stomping, victory-producing word of God going forth in our world today than at any time in the history of mankind. Amen. Facebook, internet, websites, live streams, books, digital books. I mean, I have a library of Bible study. I've got, I think it's either over 1,200. I mean, it's books. I have. People look at my things. You read all these books? No, people give me. I haven't read them all. But I got 1,200 books on this iPad. The things of God. Now, I'm not trying to beat anybody up. It's one thing for the voice of victory. How about that? Amen. To be broadcast all over the world. It's another people for people to actually listen carefully to it. Listen carefully to it. And I think one of the things is we are almost overwhelmed with so much information that we listen very shallowly without much in-depth listening at all. That's one of the reasons, again, I'm so repetitive. I say things over and over and over and over again. And usually don't, well, my heart is to not move on unless the Holy Spirit moves me on. Amen. All right. So, level 5. This would be active listening. This is engaged, responsive, and even validating to the speaker. And I put that part in there because I say that a lot, right? Somebody say amen. Amen, somebody, right? So that's the idea, is that you're not just paying attention, but you're engaged and actually responding. Now, this is going to vary depending on the setting. In a one-on-one setting or a classroom setting, active listening would involve asking questions, repeating back. So if I understand you correctly, one of the ladies did that in class a while ago. So if I'm understanding you correctly, Pastor Mark, this is what, you know, again, that's active listening. You can't just summarize accurately what's being said, but you're processing it and thinking about it and then being able to reflect back. All right. Now, a couple of things about reflective listening, and this transfers over to the effect that active listening has on the speaker. Okay? Because when people are actively listening, I feel heard and I feel connected to those listening. It's that active nature of this. Now, there are spiritual principles here, because when people are engaged and actively listening, they draw on the gift of the speaker and affect the flow of what the Bible calls utterance. Remember the Apostle Paul, he said, pray for me that the Lord would give me utterance. Utterance, what does that mean? The ability to skillfully communicate to all the different people groups the wisdom of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Are you following me? So when people are leaning in, so to speak, and are actively listening, it draws on the gift, and the speakers in this room, people who preach and teach in this room, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? You can feel it. You can feel people pulling on that gift. And I'm sure it's the same with worship. When people are actively engaged in worship, they're not up here to entertain. They're here to lead us into worship, right? And so, you know, the more people participate in that, engage in that, nothing more frustrating for somebody trying to lead folks in worship. Everybody's sitting around talking. And I wish I could tell you it doesn't happen at Heritage, but it does. People all over the building doing God only knows what. You know, it's like, man, it's time to be worshiping our Creator Father. Right? So when people do that, see, it draws on the gift. Powerful, powerful things happen in those types of moments. Y'all still with me? All right, let's go to level 6. We've got a few more. Can you stay in here just a couple more? I want to try to finish this tonight. I'm not going to tell you how many, but there's a few more, okay? No, there's 9, so just stay with me. All right, 6 is empathetic listening. So this is listening for meaning and emotion. Now, this is I started to say forgive me. I'm not saying, I don't mean forgive me. I'm not about to do something that needs forgiveness, but the best way I know how to communicate this is, have you ever heard Pastor Mark say these words? Are you feeling me? Are you feeling me? Not just are you listening to me? Not just are you hearing me? But are you feeling me? Right? And it's this level of listening is hard to communicate because again of what I'm not talking about, like feelings, touchy feely. I'm talking about are you picking up on what's behind these words? Or who's behind these words? So an example of this would be when the speaker's passion draws the listener deeper into the message. I do, as you know and have for years, a lot of teaching and speaking at the Foundry. And a lot of times the people who weren't raised in church or new to the Lord, or some of them aren't even born again. But the thing that draws them in, and I consider it a great compliment, is my passion. They may not understand everything that I'm saying in that moment, but they can tell by my passion that I mean what I'm saying, I believe what I'm saying, and that it's not just me going through the motions or reading from some script. Are you following me? So that would be behind, are you feeling me? I don't ever plan to say that, but most of the time it's something that has moved me, and I want it to move the people that are listening. How about, you ever heard me say this? If you're enjoying this half as much as I am, you're getting a lot out of it, right? Because it's not just some sermon I downloaded off the internet or something. This is something that I'm very passionate about and feel, you know, like Isaiah said, fire shut up in my bones. You know, it's something I just got to get out to the people. All right, let's keep going. Level 7, and this one's very important. It's critical analytical listening. And that doesn't mean criticize. It means evaluating content carefully. Evaluating content carefully. So this is where we take what is being taught to us and we bring it before the Lord. And we take it to the Word of God. And this is with the Holy Spirit's help. We're able to distinguish truth from fact and opinion. Because what we ultimately want is truth. And of course, this level of listening is common in teaching, is common in debate, is common in study. And this is where you personally examine what's being said. First and foremost, does it bear witness with the Word of God? Does it bear witness with the witness of the Holy Spirit in your heart? But then this is also where we say, okay, what do I need to do with this Word? What are you trying to do in my life? What are you trying to reveal or expose or help me with? And so this certainly happens during the sermon, but for the most part should continue after the sermon or the class, right? But notice now, if you haven't participated in the other levels of hearing, if you haven't been tracking the main points and you're not able to repeat them accurately, then how are you going to take that home and take it before the Lord and continue with that? The Holy Spirit prompted me a moment ago to say this, and I didn't, and he's prompted me twice again. So I'm going to give you an example of what I'm talking about here. We can hear some joke or clean joke, whatever. I'm not necessarily about something nasty. We can hear, a rumor, gossip, bad news, and remember it for weeks and months, in some cases for the rest of our lives. But how many folks remember the text from Sunday morning sermon? Are you following me? The idea, of course, is the enemy comes to steal the word. It's not a neutral world that we're living in. And so we got to listen carefully, more than just amen. All right, let me keep going here. So the critical analytical listening doesn't mean to criticize. Amen. It's to process it. It's okay. And that requires meditation, which again is something that carries on long after the class or the sermon is over. And then, of course, that leads us to number 8, reflective, contemplative listening. So this is deep, spacious attention. What does that mean? Some of the most important things the Lord's ever taught me begin with a thought, begin with one verse or a phrase out of a verse or one word from a phrase in a verse, in a chapter, in a book of the Bible. And I heard Rick Renner explain it this way. Someone who is a scuba diver, and I understand, Sister Terry, you certified and did a lot of diving back in the day. I've never done it, but I understand the concept of it. When that diver sits on the edge of the boat and flips off the boat backwards, there's one little part of the ocean or whatever that they drop through. But then once they drop through that, a whole world, spacious world, opens up for them. So it's that one point of entry. And so when the Lord begins to breathe on it, and I use that expression sometimes, it's like there, with this phrase, let your soul delight itself in abundance. Man, I memorized that verse 15 years ago, or longer than that probably. But it's like now all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit's breathing on that. In the same way, like if you had a coal of fire that looked out and you all of a sudden it started to glow. Are you with me? My brother-in-law, he's in property management in Wyoming, and he oversees these really, you know, some of these folks are billionaires that have these homes in Jackson, Wyoming. And he cleaned out a fireplace, put it in the back of his van. His truck with a camper, right? I think it was enclosed. Next morning, he went out there and he opened it up. When he opened it up, that air rushed in there. It wasn't God breathing on the coals, but thank God it didn't burn his truck down. But sometimes you think the fire's out until air hits it. Yes, air hits it. And so it's like that. It's, for me, it's one way that it's like, you know, you take, you know, Isaiah 55 is on this side of my Bible, this column, this whole thing. It's like the Holy Spirit goes up to that page and goes, and that one phrase is like the one that just, you know, pardon the sound effects, but it glows, it stands out. That's Him, right? But now, notice now that what happens, you begin to reflect on that, contemplate, in other words, think, meditate would be another word here. All of a sudden, it's like that scuba diver. You drop in to where, you know, you can't see everything above the water that you can see under the water. But at some point you got to get from one place to the next, and then it opens up. And this is what happens with meditating the word, reflective, contemplative, listening, deep, spacious attention. And so in counseling, this would be like silence is okay. You know, sometimes listening and counseling, you feel like every minute's got to be filled with words. And sometimes if you think about it, it's in the silent moments at the end of a service when we pray, or sometimes we'll worship. This is when what we've heard and what we've experienced can really become relevant in our lives. And so this is listening without an urgency to respond. One of the things that Brother Duplantis said at the ministers' conference is that the Lord spoke to him and he said, "Now hear me out before y'all start judging me and throwing stuff at me." He said, Lord told me, he said, "I want you to pray less and listen more. Pray less and listen more." And of course, prayer is two-way communication. But, you know, sometimes there's this tendency to talk, and then, okay, Lord, thank you, and go, you know. Well, this is listening when there's silence. Because we're not necessarily listening to the man or the woman that's speaking or teaching or counseling us, but it's the opportunity for the Lord, that still small voice inside of us. And this is where insight or understanding really begins to develop and emerge in our lives. Okay, last one, and this is the highest level. Level 9 is transformational listening. This is the highest level because this is listening that changes you. Listening that changes you. Do you believe you can listen to God and what He says to you change you? How about that? You can hear from Him and be so in tune that what He says changes you. Now, here are some characteristics with this. Are you ready? You're open. This level of listening includes an openness to being corrected. Compare that to selective listening when you're just hearing what you want to hear, right? I used to kind of get a little miffed at this when I was younger and less mature. I'm still got a ways to go in the mature department. There'll be things like that I'll preach like as hard as I can preach them for a year. And then like 6 months later, somebody say, "Pastor Mark, you're not going to believe what I heard on TV the other day." And they'll, you know what I'm fixing to say, right? They'll say something and I'm like, "You sat right there for 6 months And I said that 483 times. They're not saying it like I heard somebody say something you've said. They're like they've never heard it before. It's like the first time they've ever heard it in their life. I wish I could tell you this. That is not that uncommon of a thing. Okay. Well, sometimes you hear until you can hear. All right. I'm either planting or watering. Amen. God gives the increase. I had a situation like that. I won't go into the details. I had a situation like that today. Somebody who's left this church. And anyway, I won't go into all that. But praise God. Just like that today. Something. Amen. This brother sat in the class for months in discipleship class. We cover it. I mean, we'll spend 5 hours on it. Amen. And I called somebody and said, hey, let me tell you what I learned. You know, like, praise God. All right. So transformational listening is listening with an openness to be corrected. We could say teachable, right? This level of listening means setting aside your ego and your pride and your defensiveness. And of course, this level of listening is not only but primarily spiritual in nature and a valid and an integral part of prayer and discipleship. The key marker, guess what? You don't leave the same way you came. Amen. All right, stand with me tonight. I know this is part one of the, I'm like, Lord, I'm going to do it because I feel like you're leading me to do it. I know you're leading me to do it. I'm confident you're leading me to do it. It's one of the more unique messages I believe I've ever given, but it's basics. Let's go back to one of the first points. Not all listening is created equal. There's different levels of listening. I would think listening carefully would definitely include levels, you know, what are we going to go, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, amen. And then, of course, and most importantly, 9, amen. We want to listen carefully. Eat what is good. Have you ever had somebody tell you something that you maybe didn't fully understand or weren't sure you agreed with, and you said, let me chew on it for a while? I mean, you're not talking about like taking notes from the message and chewing on the paper. You chew on it, right? You process it, contemplate, take it before the Lord, analyze it, hold it up to Scripture. That's listening carefully. Our soul will never delight itself in abundance and eat what is good unless we first develop the ability to listen carefully. Jesus said, and I'll finish with this, in Luke 8 and 18, he said, be careful, take heed how you hear. How you hear. Not what you hear is important, but how you hear it. How you hear it. Amen. So, Father, we see why the prayer for eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to understand is such an important prayer. And Father, we don't want to fall into the category of low-level listening and miss what it is you're trying to say to us. Holy Spirit, teach us to listen carefully to the word of the Lord. Teach us to be attentive and teach us to be correctable. And Father, that there's no need for us to be defensive and feel like we're being attacked when we're hearing your word. But Father, to receive your word with meekness, engrafted word with meekness, which is able to bring salvation to our understanding, our souls. Father, thank you for this Wednesday night group, Lord. Those that are watching online. Father, those that are listening carefully online, not just having it play in the background. but listening online, literally listening carefully and allowing you to speak to them, because your words are living and powerful. They're life to those that find them. They're health to all our flesh. They separate the part of us, that spirit, from the part of us, that soul, and penetrates all the way down to the marrow in our bones, discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. Father, we thank you for your living and powerful word. May it be living and powerful in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, thank you for being here tonight. I hope you got something out of that. Ask the Lord to help you be a good listener.